So it's day one to day two, differences from the first to the second?
I thought the execution was slightly better. You know, we're still a long way away from where we need to be, but you know, the guys are really taking the coaching and they're trying to get better. The intensity's good, the tempo's decent, not near where it needs to be or where it's going to be, but it was overall a better day than yesterday, which is what you're looking for, improvement every day.
Bill, is Arian okay?
Is Arian okay?
Arian, yeah.
As far as I know,
yeah. How detailed will you get evaluating every drill, every snap? How much do you see personally? How much do your coaching staff, when you guys do your daily reports?
We're extremely detailed, just like every staff in the league. I mean, we watch every bit. We watch the quarterback center exchange. We film that. You know, we watch every drill, the drills that we're behind on watching. We try to catch up on the next day. You know, maybe we move a meeting around so we can get it all watched. But we watch every bit of practice to evaluate.
By tempo, not where you want it. Can you explain that?
Yeah, you know, Jerome, we like to play at a fast tempo overall. We believe in controlling the tempo. You know, obviously offensively is what I'm talking about. And you know, I think early in training camp when you're installing, and it's not a review because a lot of these plays have been run, obviously, in the spring. But you're still in an installation mode. So you're huddling and you're going to the ball. Or you're calling the play in the huddle. You're going to the football. And hopefully by practice 6, 7, 8, that whole process speeds up to the point where now you're in no huddle. And then you're huddling and you're back and forth and you're controlling the tempo on offense. So I just think we're a long way away from where we're going to be as far as tempo is concerned.
Any suggestions to the music or the type of music? Or?
You know, I really believe in that. You know, obviously places that I've been, we did it, and I felt like it did a few things. It forced communication with the players. You know, the coaches aren't out there on Sundays, you know, telling you what your alignment is, what call you should make, who the mic is, you know. You're out there as a player on your own, and you've got to figure it out in communication with your teammates. So when you crank the music, it forces communication among teammates, and then they get to know each other's body language and, you know, how they do a signal or how they do this or how they do that, and I think that's good. And then obviously, you know, I just see – I believe a difference in the enthusiasm and in the tempo of practice when you crank the music. Not to say that they always like my music selections, but they seem to like when the music is going.
So you added two outside linebackers, but didn't get rid of any. Did you just want more of those guys in your camp?
We just always are looking to, at each position, make it the most competitive position we can.
On quarterback reps before the first preseason game, is that all predetermined for these first 2 weeks of practice, or is that something you adjust on a kind of day-to-day basis?
It's predetermined, Mark, in the first 3 or 4 practices where, you know, Fitzy will get the bulk of the reps, and then right now Case is getting the second most, and Tommy gets, quote-unquote, the third most. But basically, Tommy probably gets a lot of reps of his own because we do a 2-spot drill there in the beginning of practice, and we'll do more of those as practice goes on where he gets his own reps, and then Case comes over and gets some of those reps too. So it balances itself out, and then we determine who's ahead of who after a few practices, however many practices, you know, we think we need to determine who the backup quarterback's going to be. You know, we'll take our time with that. But, you know, right now it's Ryan, it's Case, and then it's Tom.
Yesterday, Bonner and Kirby White,
we're still in evaluation on that. You know, they both went down with something yesterday, and we'll, at some point in time, we'll definitely let you know, but they're still getting checked out by our medical people.
So when you watch a practice, I mean, obviously some guys will jump out at you. You know, and I certainly wouldn't ask you to do a whole laundry list, but, for example, the young receiver, Best of the day, looked like he showed some things. Is that something you noticed? Or?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, Dale, I'm not trying to be – I'm just telling you, I didn't notice that, you know, with him. I like LeColt, and I think he works extremely hard. You know, I haven't seen really, you know, anyone really jump out. I think we're working hard as a team, and Everyone's trying to learn the system and execute, and we're trying to hold ourselves, each other, coaching staff, players. We're all in it together, and we're trying to hold each other to a high standard. So, you know, I wouldn't say that anyone's jumped out or not jumped out or jumped in or, whatever. I don't know. I just know that we're out there working and trying to get better every day.
Since obviously we're not at the afternoon workout, are you reviewing the morning and then doing a walkthrough prep for the next day?
Yeah, that's a good question, Dale. What we do is we take a little break here, grab some lunch, workout, whatever, as coaches, and then we go upstairs and we watch the tape from the morning practice. Usually takes between 2.5-3 hours to do that. Then we go to a special teams meeting in the afternoon, and then offensive and defensive meeting in the afternoon, and then we go to a walkthrough in either on the field or in the bubble. And that's basically an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes divided up between the first portion of it being special teams. It's corrections from the morning practice and then looking ahead to the next practice or the next two practices. And then that's the same thing with the offense and defense. We correct some things that have to be fixed. You know, we talk a lot about fixing problems within a game. You got to fix problems in the game. You can't wait till halftime or Monday to fix something that came up in the game. So we got to fix those problems either on the practice field or in the walkthrough, and then move on to the next practice.
Coach, you had a running back had a couple of drops. I know you were frustrated. He was frustrated. You talk about fixing problems on the go. What can you do for something like that, physical, mental there?
We do those. I don't know if you see the drill we do there in the middle of practice where, you know, we call it a turnover tackling type drill where they have to catch, they get hit simultaneously, then they have to, you know, force a tackler to miss. The tackler's got to take the proper angle, those types of things. We make them, do extra work on the jugs machines, extra work with the quarterbacks, all kinds of drills. And then at the end of the day, they have to catch the football or, they have to intercept the football when it's there for them. It's ultimately up to the player to get better at that. But we as coaches try to do everything we can to help them improve.
Who are your young guys, the draft picks? How are they adapting to the demands of camp? It's only 2 days in, but veterans have been through it before. But this is kind of a whole new thing for these young guys.
Yeah, James, I think you'd have to probably ask them. You know, I think so far it's been okay. You know, I think the guys came back in shape. You know, all the rookie guys that ran the conditioning test, passed it. I feel like they did what we asked them to do in that regard. We feel like it's a good class, a good bunch of guys, fun guys to coach, but it's a big jump. You know, it's not easy. Nothing against anything in college, but when you go from, you know, say you're Xavier Suafilo and you go from blocking whoever you were blocking in a Pac-12 to 6 short months later, you're blocking J.J. Watt, that's a little bit different ballgame. So I think they're adjusting as good as they can, and they just got to keep trying to get better every single day.
Talking yesterday about the progression to pads, what do you want to see tomorrow? And tomorrow is pads, correct?
Yes, yeah, tomorrow we'll be in full pads. I just want to see these guys come out and compete. I want to see these guys do a good job with contact speed. I want to see these guys make sure that they take the meeting to the walkthrough, and then ultimately, like for all of us, we're all here to produce on the field and win. That's what we're here for. So hopefully those guys go out there and get better from where they were today. You'll probably be at practice, right, Tanya? Yeah. You'll find out then.
How are they handling the heat? And frankly, how are you and the coaches handling the heat? I'm not sure you've ever coached in this kind of humidity.
Yeah, I coached in Georgia Tech in Atlanta.
That's altitude.
Altitude? What are you, a geography major? I mean, it's Texas. I mean, it's hot. Whatever. We move on. These guys are doing fine. I mean, that's. We're not expecting an Alaskan cold front to come wiping through here. We're out there and we're going, and you know, we just we're practicing. So we go out there every day with the mission of getting better, and we don't really worry about things we can't control. We can do nothing about the weather. All we can control is what we do and what we know and how we produce on the field and how hard we play and what type of condition we're in and how hard we're studying and working and all those things. So we don't, you know, with all due respect to the question, like, that's not anything we think about.
I would think that this environment is certainly conducive to getting guys in shape. And, I mean, from that standpoint, it's probably good.
I mean, I think there's 31 other teams that are getting in shape. I think it's hot everywhere right now. So that's what it's all about. And everybody's working hard to be ready for their first game.
You said your music selection,
you improve and or choose every song?
Yeah, for the most part I do, Jerome. Sometimes I'll I'll ask the guy. It's a big thing, you know, because I love music. The players love music, and you know, my thing is just all we do is we try to make sure, obviously, that it's respectful music, and you know, that everybody gets a little taste of each other's music, you know, whichever ones they like. And so we just try to crank it loud, and the guys seem to enjoy it. And they make fun of me a lot because of my selections, but it's all in good humor, so it's fun.
Bill, when there's guys like Clowney that you're bringing back in, or Jonathan Joseph, is there, I guess, how much of it is predetermined before practice starts on what they're going to do, or do you monitor it, or is it more of how they're going throughout practice, how they're feeling?
Yeah, I would say that any, especially the rookies, you know, I'd say especially the rookies, they're on a need-to-know basis. You know, we just let them go, and then Cap and I discuss it, and that's how it goes. Yep.
Yeah, veterans like Claybo and Dan, guys like that who come in, is there a certain expectation that, hey, they've been with NFL teams, they know X and out, or do you treat them almost like brand new, almost like you would a rookie in terms of fresh start?
Yeah, I think you have to treat them brand new in the fact that they're brand new to the way we do things. But I do also believe that there's a respect level for what they've done in the league. So I do think that, you want to make sure that they understand what you're doing, but you also want to, when they're here after a few weeks or, you know, a couple weeks or 3 weeks, that, you know, hey, maybe they have something that they've seen and places that they've been that is good too. But for right now, it's just like they're brand new, and we're just making sure they know how we do things.